Till it feels like heaven. Say, why are you singing about heaven all the time? Because it's hard out here. Need something to look forward to. First, giving all honor and praise to God, the angel of this house, Dr. Armstrong, my pastor. To you, Shiloh Baptist Church family and all visitors. It's a blessing to be with you one more time. Also want to thank the Princeton Theological Seminary family who came out today. Would y'all stand so
Amen.
They can see that? Oh, we're there. Amen. All right. It looked good. Y'all pray for all of us. We're trying to make it.
Amen.
Thank you for giving an old country boy a chance to come up here to Princeton, New Jersey. Preach the word of God.
Amen.
Do something in my tradition. We ain't have any organ, no drums, no anything. But before the preaching moment, it was those old deacons and those old preachers who taught me some songs that a young brother knew early on.
All right.
Something like, I need the from the Lord. Lord, come see about us. Oh, Lord. I need thee, oh. I need thee. Yeah. Every hour. Y'all better cut that out. We're going to have church this morning. Would you open your Bibles this morning to Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. On this men's day. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Let me know that you have it by your amen.
Amen.
If you don't have it, say, preacher, hold on. Let us stand for the reading of God's word. Scripture reads, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. For a subject this morning on this Men's Day, Shiloh Baptist Church, I need you to keep on pressing forward. Keep on. I need you to keep on pressing forward. You may be seated. The Lord is good and he's worthy to be praised. Shiloh Baptist Church, you all have loved on me from the first time my father and I came to visit, before I even knew if I got into Princeton. This was my church home. You've been a blessing to me. It's been a blessing working with you, serving you, and serving with you. I've been able to see up close and personal what it is that we do as a mission-based church. Not a church that just comes in here on Sunday morning and we praise and leave, but no, we're working every day of the week. Yeah, it's been a blessing to be here with you and to be learning from you as I go through this journey with you. I've been able to see some things since I've been here, seen some beautiful things. I've been loved on just by everybody. And as we go through doing ministry, as we've been here on Wednesday nights doing Bible study, we've been out in the community face-to-face with all of the people that are around us that may not be here, but we go to them. I love it as we're here on Sunday, all that we do at the seminary, everything at the CDC, the Community Development Center, I've been able to see what we're doing. I've been able to follow our pastor around, and I'm telling you, I don't know a brother who's more busy than that man right there. But I get it, because he's trying to do all that he can so that there is a Christian, God-fearing figurehead in everything that takes place in our community. I've seen what you've been doing. I've seen what you've been doing. I don't have any critique. I don't have anything bad to say. I just want to encourage you this morning. I need you to keep on pressing forward. It's Men's Day this morning. It's Men's Day. It is Men's Day. I thank God for the men that I've been able to witness and be mentored by and be groomed by as I've been going on this journey for 25 years. Yesterday it was my birthday, and I was blessed to reflect a little bit, and I thought about the fact that it was those old deacons whose laps I sat on in church as a baby that took me on. It was being there in brotherhood, is what we call it in Mansfield, Texas. That's the men, when the men come together and the men pray and the men have Bible study. We call that brotherhood. I was there as a kid. I sat in on that. I was there for devotion, which is where I learned those old songs. Got down on one knee at the beginning of service, learned how to pray. I thank God that my bed wasn't my cooling board. I'm glad that, oh, come on, somebody. I learned from some men, some God-fearing men, some shown-up men who aren't ashamed to be Christians Monday through Sunday. Come on, somebody. Yeah, it was those men, those same men. It was men like Dr. Martin Luther King, Benjamin Elijah Mays that I looked to when I was in high school, and I said, I want to go there. Where they are, Morehouse College, that's where I need to be. And what got me when I was on the visit, we were there. Benjamin Elijah Mays, he's buried on campus, and then they're engraved in the stone. There's sunlight rays going out into the clouds. And they said, this is Morehouse men going out, pouring out, and shining through so that we are that little spark of hope that this dark and dismal world has. I was sold right then. I said, sign me up. This is where I need to be. It was men like that who inspired me. My father, I got to watch him. My father was an old-time pastor. I'm telling you, he's there when Ray Ray got locked up. He's there as soon as mother passes. He's there for everything, whether it's Sunday school. He's going to preach both services. Then he's going to be at the hospital serving communion. He's there. And I was there to see what it meant to really be a servant for the Lord. I saw that it was men, those men that I, oh, come on, somebody. And you know what? I've seen it since I've been here. Where's Deacon Ernie Lee? My brother's always running around. You can't catch him because he's doing something. I've seen it here. Deacon Henderson, oh, come on, Bible studies on Wednesday. We're going to teach the lesson. Ain't that right? Come on, we're here. I've been blessed to see you and be with you, and you're blessing me. You're blessing me. And you know what? I just want to tell you to keep on pressing forward. And sisters, I haven't forgot about you this morning. I believe for men, women, boys, and girls, there's something we can all do. And I know that there's somebody out here right now. You've been trying to live a better life for Christ. You've been being intentional about your living. You said, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to pray every day. I'm not going to say what I want to say. I'm going to hold my tongue. I'm going to let them folks make it today. I'm not going to do that today because I'm trying to do better. And I bet you know that every time you try to do better, it seems like that's when evil always come to your doorstep. And I just don't want you to get weary. I'm here to tell you to keep on pressing forward. Y'all, come on. That's all right. We're going to be all right this morning. Going to be all right this morning. As I was reading through this text, I learned a little trick that the text taught me. If we want to keep pressing forward, I learned that if we remember the promise that our Father if we remember what he's promised us a prize. And that prize, when times get hard, when you just think about that, it'll help you to progress. Again, we're talking about heaven. It feels like heaven. I'm trying to tell you, if you remember that prize that God has promised you, when you're going through the storm and the rain, it'll help you progress. I tell you right now, my father, he has some interesting teaching tactics, but you know what? I turned out all right, so it's all right. But one thing that he did when he wanted to trick me as a little kid into going to the doctor's office without a fuss or a fight, he'd say, "Tony, we're going to the baseball game." He knew I loved to go to the baseball game. So I'd go run and get dressed, and I'd hop in the car. And he said, "Now, remember, we're going to the baseball game." I said, "Okay, I'm ready to go." He said, "Now, as we start driving," he started adding information. He said, "Now, we got to make a stop somewhere, but we're going to the baseball game." I said, "Now, you ain't tell me about this stop before I get in the car, but that's all right. We're going to the game." By the time we pulled up to the doctor's office, I'm like, "Now, wait a minute, doc." He said, "No, it's all right. Remember, we're going to the baseball game." By the time we get in the doctor's office, they pulling out needles. Now, I'm a little worried. This is kind of sketchy. This ain't what I signed up for this morning. But daddy said, "No," he'd say, "look at me. I'm going to hold your hand. I'm right here with you the whole time. Just remember, we're on our way to the baseball game." And by the time they got done piercing my skin, Lord have mercy, I hate needles. And they wiping the blood away, wiping my tears away, because I still cried. That didn't help. But you know, before I knew it, I was indeed at the baseball game. And that made me think about something. Our Father has promised us a prize. And then when you're going through the blood, the sweat, and the tears, when you're sad, when it's hard, I promise if you think about what's to come, it'll help you progress. Oh, come on, we got to keep on pressing forward. We're going to be all right this morning. This morning, we find ourselves in the book of Hebrews. I got to tell you something about the book of Hebrews. There's some things we need to know. And as I was doing my research, I learned that the author of Hebrews is unknown. Some theologians believe that the book of Hebrews was an epistle written by the Apostle Paul. There are others who didn't find enough concrete evidence to support that assumption as fact, since the author never personally refers to himself or herself. So we don't know who wrote it. Yeah, the date that this was written, it can't be officially determined, but theologians and historians alike believe that it must have been before the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem, which happened in 70 AD, because surely if it was after that major event, it would have been alluded to in the book. So we don't know when it was written. But what we do know about the book of Hebrews is that this was written, a letter written to encourage Jewish Christians who were living in Jerusalem at the time. Got to tell you some things about the Jews. We know that the Jews, they are God's chosen people. The Jews, they were waiting on the Messiah, but the Messiah didn't come back in the way that they thought he would. And we can stop right there, because somebody, you've asked God to work in your life. You've asked God to change your situation. You've asked God to come bless you abundantly, but then when things didn't come in the way that you thought they would, you almost missed your blessing. Oh, yeah, we know about the Jews. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. They were waiting on the Messiah, but he didn't come in the way that he thought that he would. Yeah, the Jews, but there were some of those who they connected the dots. There were a few people who did believe Jesus to be that Messiah that they were waiting on and that they were looking for. But the only thing about that is that means they had to then break away from being a traditional Jew to being a Christian. That means they went away from Judaism to one of the earliest forms of Christianity. They went from following the old Mosaic law to listening to what Jesus said. And I bet you can imagine that some of those old traditional Jews, even though they were in the minority, they had it right. But don't you know they got a hard time from their own folks? As somebody who can relate to that this morning, you've been trying to do what you're supposed to do. You've been trying to listen to God's call on your life, trying to be obedient. But as soon as you started trying to change your lifestyle and listening to the Lord, living for the Lord, you changed your walk and your talk. People noticed that and they didn't like it. And they were giving you a hard time. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I want you to keep on pressing forward. Yeah, but you know what? The text, it gives us some suggestions if you'd like to keep pressing forward. And the first thing that the text revealed to me is that we should remember those who paved the way for us. Yes, we should. Where do you see that in the text? I'm glad that you asked. The first part of verse number 1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." We have to stop there just at that word, "therefore." We need to stop right there because there's a comma. You know, now, I got to tell you something. Before I came to Princeton Theological Seminary, I was an English teacher for 1 year. And I put in my letter of resignation in November. It was hard. Y'all pray for me. It was tough. Man, I'm telling you, I came from Morehouse. I finished a year early, had my little suit on, got Martin Luther King and all the black heroes on the wall. You know, had my little briefcase. I thought I was going to show enough, teach them something. And then the first day I got cussed out, I saw my freedom flash before my eyes. I would have been limited to prison ministry. God is all right, though. But you know what? So God bless all the educators in the room. You don't get paid enough. But you know what? While I was breaking up fights and trying to keep my own self out of jail, I promise I was able, I was able to teach a little bit of English. And you know what? There's something important about the word therefore. As an English teacher, I wouldn't be doing it justice if I didn't let you know that the word therefore is a conjunctive adverb. And that shows cause and effect between two independent clauses. What does that mean? Well, that means that this verse alludes to something that happened or that was said prior to this. So I had to go back and I had to read some more. And so I went back to Hebrews chapter 11 and I learned that it talks about the Faith Hall of Fame. I dare you to go read it in your own time. It talks about this Faith Hall of Fame. And a lot of the verses lead off with the term or the phrase by faith. And it gives the story of Abel, of Enoch, of Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David. It goes down the line and it gives you this Faith Hall of Fame, tells you about their lives and what happened by faith. Come on, somebody. But that wasn't enough for me. I had to go back and I had to read a little bit more. I had to go read. And so then in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 through 36, I saw where it says that we need endurance. Yeah, we got to have endurance so that after we've lived this faithful life, like in chapter 11, we can get to the end and get that prize that our fathers promised us. Come on, don't miss that. So in chapter 10, it talks about the fact that we need endurance to get through this life. In chapter 11, it talked about the fact that there are so many people down the line who have lived that faithful life and already made it over, and they now have their prize. So by the time that we get to Hebrews chapter 12, that motivational statement serves as something that's supposed to give us fire to keep us going when we're struggling. The text says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Wait a minute. We know about that great cloud of witnesses. We know about the Faith Hall of Fame. I love when you come into the sanctuary, you see the names that are lit up here on the walls. And I learned during my time as a member here at Shiloh that these names, that's our Faith Hall of Fame. These are the people who are part of that great cloud of witnesses. And when the names are lit up, that's when we remember what they did, their witness, their work, and what God did through them. Most importantly, this serves as motivation for us to keep on pressing forward, because one of these old days, I know my name will be up there and I'll be enjoying, oh, come on, somebody, glory with the Lord while you're still working, and I'll be waiting on you on the other side. We know about that great cloud of witnesses. Yes, we do. You know about that great cloud of witnesses in your own life. There's someone who poured into you. They taught you something. They did for you when you couldn't do for yourself, or praying for you when you didn't have enough sense enough to pray for yourself. And look at you now. And we're standing on broad shoulders. It's because of them. You know about that great cloud of witnesses. My great-grandmother, I was blessed to have in my life for 16 years. And I know that she cleaned other folks' houses. She raised other folks' kids. She did for other people so she could save up a little bit to hop on that city bus, come back to the south side of Fort Worth, Texas, and do for us. I'm telling you, she never thought about a Morehouse College. She was picking cotton at 7 years old. She didn't know nothing about no Princeton or where it was located. But now God has put us in certain positions, and they were prepared. We were propelled by what they did. And so when it gets hard, even though it's not fair, when you want to quit, I dare you to think about those, come on somebody, who paved the way for you, and it'll help you progress. Look at somebody, say, keep on pressing forward. Yeah, we know about that great cloud of witnesses. The most beautiful part about this great cloud of witnesses is the fact that they've been through what we're already going through. They've made it over. They felt like they were going to give up. They felt like it was going to kill them. They felt like they were alone. They felt like they couldn't make it, but they made it. And now that they've made it, they are gathered around at the finish line waiting for you. And I don't know about you, but when I think about giving up, I think about those who have been through much harder than I have to go through. Yeah, I think about those, come on somebody, who if they had this opportunity, they'd make the most out of it. So I better not squander it. As we say in Mansfield, Texas, don't make me shame. I won't make my folks shame. It'll help you press. Let me move, let me move, let me move. We got to keep pressing forward. Yeah, as we go through the text, though, we know something. We know something now that we know that we should think about those who come before us. We can do one more thing. If you'd like a suggestion, if you're taking notes, we got to learn how to let some things go. If we want to make progress in this life, we have to let, yes, we do. Yes, we do. We got to let some baggage go. Well, you see that in the text. I'm glad that you asked. It says, therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Watch this. There's some baggage that we got to let go. If we're going to move forward in Jesus' name, we got to let some stuff go. And I love the seasoned saints here. Y'all bless me. I know I laugh at y'all a lot, but I hear everything that you're saying. And I've learned some lessons, whether it's Deaconess Hood, Lord have mercy, where's Sister Betty Young? Y'all, I love you so much. They've taught me some things. And you know what? They say something like, you know what? If Leroy broke your heart 57 years ago and you still mad and you wondering why you can't find somebody for you because you snapping at everybody that you meet, you ain't going to be able to find nobody until you let that thing go. Yeah, you gotta let some things go. I heard that. I ain't gonna tell you who said it, but I heard that. You gotta let some things go. I ain't gonna tell you who said it. Yeah. I heard some things. I know old Sister Shirley talked bad about you 39 years ago down at the church, and you still call yourself being mad. But Sister Shirley died 30 years ago, and you ain't been to the church, and you wondering why you missing out on your blessing. You better let some things go. God's trying to bless. You got to let some things go. If your child 41 years old living in your house, somebody got to let go of something. Oh, come on, somebody. You got to let some things go if you want to progress in Jesus' name. Your family member, I'm talking from experience, been to jail 19 times in the last 2 years, and you call yourself not being able to eat and sleep because you worried about Leroy. No, pray, and you better let that thing go if we want to progress in Jesus' name. We got to keep on pressing. We got to keep on. Yes, we do. The word says we have to lay aside every weight and sin. Now, wait a minute. Now, we talked about the weight now, but we didn't talk about the sin. Don't y'all get quiet on me now. We're talking about the sin. We talked about the weight. We ain't saying nothing about our part of it. Come on now. Lay aside every weight and sin. I'm trying to tell you, there are some things that we used to do that we can't do anymore if we want to keep on pressing. There's some places we used to go. We can't. Come on, somebody. If we want to finish this race, we have to change our lifestyle. We have to change our habits. We have to change our mindset. If we want to progress in Jesus' name, we gotta let some things. We gotta let some things go. If we're gonna finish this race, we gotta learn how to let some things go. If we continue reading that verse, it says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. There are some people, we're wondering why we can't make any progress. Well, the problem is we're running the wrong race. The text says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I told you my own story. I ran from my calling. I ran and I didn't care. I wasn't preaching nowhere. Don't ask me to preach. Don't ask me to sing. I ain't going to your church. That's what I did. But God said, all right, see how long you keep that up. Obviously, I couldn't run too long. There's one thing I love about the Shiloh Baptist Church is it's the pillar of this community. And I can relate to that because Bethlehem Baptist Church, that's the pillar of Mansfield, Texas. And one thing we did back in the day, we had a track team. We had a basketball team, everything. You know. And so in summer track, the way they do, instead of going varsity, junior varsity, you run in accordance to your age. And so we were out there, and if you ran track, and our Dr. Armstrong, y'all know that brother ran track, so you understand. Sometimes a track meet is more fun when you're not running the race. And so we messed around, basically, and we missed our race. And by the time our coach came and found us somewhere we weren't supposed to be, Lord have mercy. By the time he came and found us, he said, well, look, y'all out here and you gonna run. I was like, no, wait a minute. Our race is past. We just need to pick this up next. We said, no, you gonna run. And the only people who were left to run, it was the open 100. I'll never forget. Lord have mercy. We had to run with the 18-year-olds. Here go these grown men with beards and kids, and I'm like, we 14 years old. I know y'all not going to do us like this. Needless to say, we got out there and got killed. Now we crying, and it's just a bad day. And I'll never forget it. As I turned 25, I'll never forget it because that was a bought lesson. But we could have saved that thing if we were just running the right race. Don't miss that. We got to run the right way. What does that look like in our own lives? Well, we're in relationships that God didn't ordain.
Yeah, we in the relationship, we married or shacked up one or the other, and we wondering what's wrong with this person, and the truth is that ain't who God called for you to be with. That ain't the person God has for you. We running the wrong race. What does that look like? We have friends that don't have our best interest in mind. Every time you have some good news, I got a promotion. Man, everybody get a promotion. Oh, brother, can't you just be happy for me? That ain't your friend. You're trying to figure out what's wrong with them. We running the wrong race. Here we are. What does that look like? We got careers that don't align with what God has called us to do. And we're talking about how bad they treat us down at the job. And we've been here 15 years doing the same thing. What? We're running the wrong race. If we would do what God has called us to do, stop running, stop trying to manhandle this thing, stop trying to formulate our own futures and just submit to God's will, everything will be all right. We're running the wrong race. Yeah, we're running the wrong race. Got to keep on pressing forward. And I'm trying to tell you something. As you're going through this race, through this journey that we call life, I got to tell you something. Everything and every day, it won't be a good day. Everything, it will seem like everything ain't going to be all right. You're going to cry some tears. You're going to lose some people. You're going to lose some material things. It's going to be bad. It's going to be hard sometimes anyways, because that's just a part of life. And so in life, you may get tired and you may get weary. You may even begin to doubt yourself or doubt what you heard God say. Lord, is this really for me? You may begin to do that anyway. So if you don't let some stuff go on top of what is already ahead of you and in front of you and your opposition, ain't no way in the world you're going to be able to make progress. Oh, come on, somebody. I noticed as I was reading, we're talking about keeping up. If we're going to keep pressing forward, this word, we see this word endure. This word endure, it appears three times in these three verses. And according to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, the word endure means to remain firm under suffering or misfortune without yielding. Wait a minute. The word endure means to remain firm under suffering or misfortune without yielding. There's somebody in here right now, you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to say a word, but you know a little something about suffering. You know a little something about misfortune. And if only some people knew your story, they'd bust out in tears, because you know that you've been through the storm and the rain twice over, and people don't understand because God has been so good to you. Picked you up, turned you around. I ain't even gonna go through the whole thing. God's been good to you, and you don't look like what you've been through. So people think that everything has been fine and dandy on your road through life, when the truth is you've been through some mess, and they don't even know the half of it. Endure, that means to remain firm under suffering or misfortune. That means you're not just coming to church after you got a raise. You're not just praising the Lord after you got a new car. But when your car breaks down, you hitch a ride to church. And when you don't have a job, you're finding something to give, because it's what you do when you're suffering and you're under misfortune. Look, it's somebody say, I'm not going to yield. Come on, somebody. I'm thinking to myself, I said, well, when I thought about endure, I thought it just meant to keep going. I didn't understand what it meant. I didn't know that the word endure implies hardship. And so when I thought about that, we said, you got to endure to the end. That sounds real good, but that means you got to go through some mess. You got to go through the struggle, and you got to get down in the trenches so that way you understand how to show enough, say thank you when it's all over. Come on, somebody. When you're now doing good, when you're out of that mess, when you've been sucked, come on, somebody. We got to keep on. We got to keep on pressing forward. Yeah, I did some more research. I was looking at this word endure. I said, man, that's a mighty word. And then I learned that the Greek root for endure is end. The Greek root is telos. What does telos mean? The telos, that's reaching the end aim or the end goal or the end purpose. Don't miss that. I know that sometimes there are some things we can do. We can shorten our own lifespan. There are some things we can do because of free will. We can go left and right, not be on the path that God has set before us, not running the race that God wants us to run. But I don't know about you, but I'm not trying to squander my life, because I know that my time is ticking as it is. And so what I want to do is get to the telos, which is the end aim or the end goal and the end purpose of my life. Because I know that if my life clock runs out and I haven't reached the end goal, I won't get to glory. I'm trying to get there because I got some people I need to see. I'm trying to get there. I got some things I need to do. Come on, somebody. I haven't been through too much now. I done come too far now to quit going. Look at somebody and say, we got to keep on pressing forward. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Let me move. I ain't going to hold you long. I'm going to get y'all out of here. I know y'all ready to eat. I'm going to get you out of here. I need you to do one more thing for me. If we want to continue to press forward, I need you to do something for me. I need you to consider Jesus. Oh, yeah. I need you to consider Jesus. It's a blessing to look out and see my Princeton Theological Seminary family because, you know, coming from a traditional Black Baptist church in Texas, you know, I believe the Bible. And I'll say this because anybody who's been through Princeton Seminary, Lord have mercy, you're going to hear some stuff. You're going to see some stuff that you're not going to agree with. And it's a blessing to get here and be around what's real, which is the church. The church is not the building, but us, the body of Christ, and us living out the word. I believe what the Bible says. Come on, somebody. There are a lot of people that question it and everything in there. Pray without ceasing. What did it really mean? Pray. Y'all pray for me. I'm trying to tell you. And you know what? There are some people, and they'll tell you, you know, you can talk to them after church, that we're around some people who believe themselves to be smarter than they are just because of the name on the institution. And even though we're in the minority because we believe in Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, and we're not here to write our own new theology and all that kind of mess, I promise you, as I read the Bible more and more, I promise this word will preach itself. How do you know? Watch this. You may ask me, how am I supposed to keep pressing forward? Somebody look at verse number 2. It says, looking to Jesus. Let's stop right there. Wait a minute. What does that mean? Well, I'm here to tell you, I know that whenever you look at the television, you see somebody like us getting shot down and killed in cold blood. And then you see a police officer who'll get off scot-free and nothing happens and that life didn't mean anything and it can look real bad. I know that when you turn on the news, you see something crazy coming from the White House. I know it looks real bad. I know every time you look around, it's a natural disaster somewhere. Somebody innocent has lost their life. I know it looks real bad. But I promise in the midst of all that mess, if you just keep looking to Jesus, it'll help you progress to the end. I promise the word will preach itself. It'll preach itself. You may ask me, young preacher, well, who is this Jesus? Well, the text says the founder and the perfecter of our faith. What does that mean? Founder. Jesus is God's only begotten Son, God wrapped in flesh. God sent himself down here to save us. Don't miss that. God's only Son, the founder. He was there in the beginning. The word was... Y'all gonna make me shout. He's the founder and the perfecter. What is that? What does that mean? Jesus lived a perfect life. But I gotta tell you something. Jesus is so awesome. He lived a perfect life, but not just in a Christian sense. But Jesus actually lived by the old Mosaic law. Now, in the old Mosaic law, if you steal something, they're chopping your hand off. If you lie, they're cutting your tongue out. And there's a whole bunch of liars, and there's a whole bunch of thieves, and ain't nothing happened to them. But don't you know that Jesus is the only one that never sinned, never lied, never did anything? So Jesus then lived by the old Mosaic law. Watch that, because we know that Jesus was a Jew. He perfected that, and then Christian didn't sin against God. He's the founder and the perfecter of our faith. What did he do? I'm glad that you asked. The text says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. We got to stop. Who for the joy that was set before him. I don't want you to miss that part. When I was reading this, I got caught up in the cross. You know, Baptists, we see the cross and we take off running to Calvary. But I had to wait. It says, that's all right. Now, are we going there? That's all right. But the text says, for the joy that was set before him. Watch this. As Jesus was marching to Calvary, if you would, there was joy that was set before him. Now, it was hard. It wasn't going to be easy. So hard that Jesus even said, Lord, if it's possible, will you let this cup pass for me? But your will be done. It was hard, but I need to tell you something. It's going to be hard if we're on our way to glory. There is no glory if there is no struggle. And as Christians, we've been called to suffer. I thought it was very interesting in this text that it brought up the fact that the joy that was set before him precedes him getting to the cross. Not only does it precede him getting to the cross, but it also precedes the word endure. It says that he endured the cross, but before he endured or could endure, had the mindset to endure the cross, he thought about the joy that was set before him. Well, thank God for that prize that's been promised to us that'll help us progress. Don't miss that. It's in the text, the joy that was set before him. That's what helped him endure the cross, despising the shame. You might say, how in the world can the Son of God be ashamed? Crucifixion, let me tell you something about crucifixion. That is the worst form of execution, especially in the Roman Empire. If you're crucified, oh my God, you're out there, you're necking in front of everybody, getting beat, you're getting whipped. Now, all of that, and Jesus didn't do anything wrong. And I bet in that moment you can feel when it seems like you're the only one trying to do right and you're being persecuted, you're being crucified by those around you, you can feel alone. Yes, you can. Don't you know that Jesus felt alone? Got so bad up there on the cross that he said, Father, why? It seemed like you've forsaken me. Lord, have mercy. And I'm here to tell you something. I know that it's all, thank God, and we all happy when everything is good and you paint on a smile on your face on Sunday morning and on your job. But I'm here. I have sympathy and empathy for you because I know that it's hard sometimes. I understand that it's hard. I understand you want to cry sometimes. We might have to cry sometimes on our way home. But because of the Lord and what he did for us, don't you know what's going to be all right in the end? You might say, where is this Jesus? I'm so glad that you asked. The text tells us, says that he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, Lord, so I know where to look when I get to glory. And I don't know about you, but when the gates swing open and Jesus, I'm going to walk in. You know what I'm talking about? And I tell people all the time, I don't need no mansions in heaven. I don't even need wings. I'll be the only brother walking around. You know, I'll take tickets at the door because I don't deserve it, but I thank God for his grace and for his mercy. And so after enduring what's going on down here and living a faithful life, one of these old days, I just want to hear the Lord say, well done. I just want to hear him say, come on in. You've been faithful over a few things. I know that it got hard, but you didn't give up on me. I know that anything and everything goes in the world, but you didn't go with the flow. And you stayed true to my word, and you stayed on the path. And that's all that matters. So at the end of the day, I may not have a lot of money. I ain't got nothing. Might not have a nice car. I ain't got nothing. Might not have a nice, come on, somebody. But none of that matters. As long as I get to heaven, I'll be all right because there'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more death, no more. Oh, come on, somebody. All I want to hear him say is, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on in. I know it was hard. I know you almost gave up, but you held on to my word. Come on in. I've got a prize for you. I promised you something. Just stay on the path, and we'll get to glory together. Anybody going? Anybody on their way home? So when they carry my body down the aisle, don't you cry for me. I'll see you again. It'll be howdy, howdy. No more crying. No more goodbye. No more sickness. No more pain. No more tears. No more goodbye. I'm here every day. It'll be Sunday. I'll sing his praises. Grandmother will be there. Mom will be there. But when I see the Lord, you better keep on pressing forward in Jesus' name, because when it's all said and done, oh, that's all that'll matter. Keep on pressing forward in Jesus' name. Amen.